Praise the Lord. Before I begin teaching on this last segment, I'm trying to finish this series on worship, and then we're going to start talking about fasting. Believers have the power to intercede and change the lives of other people. And we're gonna probably talk on or teach on this at one of our next immersion rallies, how you can begin to intercede for a loved one to break the demonic hold or the resistance of the hold of the world or sickness and disease. You need to understand that because of your level of maturity, many of you are maturing. Many of you are about to walk into a door called next. Many of you are at that threshold now. And I guess I'm saying it's by the Spirit of God, but he wants you to know that you're going to be walking in a place that very few believers walk in these last days. You're going to be walking in a place where you can disrupt powers and principalities based because of your influence in the realm of the Spirit, because you have established yourself, saith God, in the realm of the Spirit. Now, while I'm on that subject, I need for you to begin to pray a certain way. I need you to begin to pray toward our southern borders. Now, we don't want to condemn the people that are marching this way. That's not how we pray. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So here's what I want you to say. I speak to the war, repeat this. Father. I speak to the powers, the principalities, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places, that's inflowing this caravan, marching toward the United States southern borders. And I command these powers to cease. Now, in Jesus' name. You don't realize what kind of impact you're having in the realm of the Spirit. You have that kind of power. As I said, many of you, you spent time in the Spirit realm. You're established there. You need to start releasing your faith in those areas. You can start making a difference. I have seen people's health turn around because I prayed that way privately. I don't say much about it, because it doesn't deserve to be, you know, advertised. But I know I have seen results of people that said, you know, just all of a sudden. I had a friend of mine. Bonnie wouldn't know this one. I haven't told about it yet, I don't think. I forgot to. But he was prescribed, or he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And when her and I looked at him and then we prayed for him, we saw the spirit of death on him, right or wrong. Well, I've been praying for the brother. He went back to the doctor and they said, we want to take another set of tests. Went back to the doctor and they said, we want to see you to another specialist. And they went, well, what we thought was cancer, we don't think it's cancer. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Whoa. Whoa. Come on, somebody. See, this, and the other day I talked with him, and man, I said, boy, you look like a different person, man. The spirit of death is gone. Amen. We can make changes. Don't think you're sitting in these classes for nothing. God is doing a work in you. Even if you think it's not making a difference, you're not getting it. You're getting it. The light bulb's going to come on. See, God doesn't deal with you regarding to your flesh. He deals with you according to your spirit. You don't regulate that. All he wants you to do is expose yourself to him every day and let him just begin to bring more light and more light and more light. And guess what happens? The more light that comes, the more flesh that dies. The more light that comes, more flesh dies. Hallelujah. More flesh dies, more flesh dies. Light comes, light comes, light comes. And the only person that can stop your light from shining is you. Your enemies can't do anything to stop it. They have nothing. They have no control over it at all. They may not like you. They may think you're the knucklehead of knuckleheads, but they can't stop your light.
No.
And you need to understand that. You are one powerful being. Now, here's the deal. They are too, but they're too busy hating on you.
There you go. Now you didn't come.
See, they're just as powerful as you are. The thing is, they have not learned how to allow that light to shine and shine and shine. There's nothing really special about the meetings that we all hold here on Thursday, except that we just keep exposing you to light. So having said that, let me get on to my lesson tonight so I can finish this up. So tonight we're back to John chapter 4, verse 24. How many of you know what that verse says? Yes, ma'am.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit. But the Father seeketh
such. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. He's not spirit. He is a spirit. Mm-hmm. You are a spirit. You're not spirit. You are a spirit, meaning you're not a glob out there just floating around somewhere. Okay, you are a person. You are an individual. You are an entity. And they that worship him God, must worship him in spirit and in truth. And verse 25 says, and the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about what does it mean to worship in truth. We talked about in spirit. We talked about that for 2 or 3 weeks, what it means to have the capacity to have the kind of spirit that you now can receive from God.
Amen.
As new creatures in Christ, there is nothing in the Father that Jesus has not redeemed us out of or into. You've been totally redeemed. There's nothing that can stop you. There's nothing impossible for you. In fact, Jesus said these words, all things are possible to him that believes.
Amen.
This part called in truth, we're going to enter into that area. All things are possible to him that believes.
Wow.
You are about to enter into that area. You're about to enter into that phase of your ministry if you'll begin and continue to spend time with God. Not because you have to, but because you want to.
Amen.
Tonight, as I was praying in the Spirit, many of you know that right around about 6:30 or 6:35, I had to kick over into private worship. But I was having so much fun in praying in the Spirit, I just stayed right there. See, it's not laborious for me. It's just fellowship. Nothing in the Father that we cannot have or achieve. Now get this. Now get this. I said not get this. Because of what Jesus has done, we now have the capacity to believe any truth in God.
Amen.
You now have the capacity. Now, I didn't say you can do it. I said you now have the capacity. See, many of your vehicles have the capacity of going 100 miles an hour. I pray most of you don't try to go 100 miles an hour, especially when I'm around. But your vehicles have the capacity to go 100 miles an hour. Well, you have the capacity. That's not me singing now. And that's not some spirit either, okay? All right? But because of what Jesus has done, you now have a capacity to believe any truth in God. Now, many of us have struggled with this before. To believe God for healing. To believe God for finances. To believe God in impossible situations. To believe God when a loved one's been given a death sentence. And to believe God, I can turn this thing around. Beyond what doctors have said. So you have that kind of capacity. Isn't that what Jesus did?
Amen.
In fact, he would snatch him back from death. So that nothing he promised can be withheld from you. Nothing that he promised you is impossible to you. See, we're that kind of people. We're the people that God is bringing up to this point in time that says, God is saying, I need a people that can begin to believe me for what I said. What did Gary, when we were in Tulsa, what did Gary preach about? Jesus walked into the room and poked in his hand on his pulpit and said, I want to be believed. God wants a people that will believe him.
Yes.
Now, the thing is this, many of us want to believe God, but because we have a flesh, that's our problem. So in private worship is where you can begin to destroy the flesh, begin to make the flesh heal, begin to make the flesh shut up. It also helps your believing. Private worship begins to help you believe things that you had a hard time believing. Because now you realize how much God loves you, and you realize how much in love you are with him. And if you're in love with him, nothing is impossible to you. Amen. He has given unto us precious promises that we may become partakers of his divine nature. Many of us have a hard time understanding, what does it mean to be a partaker of his divine nature? It means anything he has available, I can be a partaker of. Amen. I can have a part of it. I said, I can have a part of it. Amen. All the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. So all that we can believe, we can have, is part of our worship. All that we can believe. Now, there is the key right there. All that we can believe, all that we can have, is part of our worship. You can't have it apart from worship. Because the world has done a very good job of conforming us to the world. We all have a flesh that's pretty thick. And that flesh has to be diminished. It has to be put to naught. It has to be removed out of the way so that faith can flow. When you start to enter into fellowship with him through worship, you'll become baptized into his compassion. You'll no longer want to serve yourself by realizing your own lustful desires to consume it on yourself, but rather you'll fulfill the callings and the purposes that he has for you. That's Psalm 34. That's Psalm 34. Does anybody remember Psalm 34? When a man's ways please the Lord. No, that's not what it says. What does Psalm 34 say? Did I give it to put up there tonight? Psalms 37, verse 4, excuse me. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll what? And he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, the thing is, that verse would be better rendered by saying this. When his desires become your desires, then he'll give you the desires of your heart. And that's what we're just talking about. Through private worship, because you now have that kind of spirit, you have a spirit that now can be turned into his desires. Because you have a spirit that's just like his, and you're spending time worshiping him, he begins to take your spirit, and he begins to mold it and transform it, and your desires begin to come just like his desires. You want the things that he wants. You want to see blind eyes open. You just don't want to see them. You crave to see them. And you don't want somebody else to do it. You want to be a part of it.
Hallelujah.
Not for your glory, not so they can come pat you on the back. No, you'll go over and open my blind eyes, and then you'll stink out the back door. And they'll go, where did she go? I don't. Well, she was just here. She's gone. Why? You don't want any glory.
Yes.
All you want is to see the blind eyes open.
Yes.
You're not concerned about who gets the praise. You know he gets the praise. All you want is you want to be a part of the blind eyes open.
Yes,
you want to be a part of the death, the dead being raised.
Yes.
That's what you want to be a part of. And you don't want to see it for no other reason than all things are possible.
Amen.
That's why I want to see it.
Amen.
I don't have any other ambition to see it but to say all things are possible.
Amen.
And when I see them happening, I just leave and go to the next impossible situation.
Amen.
I'm looking for an impossible situation.
Amen.
Why? Because all things are possible.
Amen.
To him that believes.
Amen.
I don't want any glory.
Yes.
I don't want any praise. Amen. Call me Nick Knucklehead. Call me Sam Sausagehead. I really don't give a rip. All I know is I just want to see the impossible happening.
Yes, I do.
And all those who want to be praised and worshiped and glorified and picked up and carried around, so be it.
Go ahead now.
But that's not why I'm doing it. I am pursuing him. Because I want to see the miraculous power come into the body of Christ and come in the earth.
Yes, sir.
I'm not looking for anything else. All things are possible. Why? He's molded me, he's fashioned me, he's shaped me to be just like him.
Amen. Glory.
What did Jesus do when he healed? Do you remember the time when the father came to him and said, "My daughter lies at the point of death, come and heal her." And he says, "Let's go, man. I'm ready to go." And as he was going, he got stopped by a woman that had an issue of blood. And he said, "Whoa, somebody touched me." And they're like, "Look, man, everybody's touching you. What do you mean?" He goes, "No, virtue has gone out of me." And I can just imagine this guy's father. "Look, man, my daughter is dying, and you worrying about this woman and her power. Okay, she's healed. Let's go already." And while he was there, the servants came and said, "Don't bother him any longer. Your daughter's already dead." And instantly Jesus says, "Do not fear. Don't fear." What was Jesus saying? "I'm the impossible. I'm the impossible." And then they marched up to that house and everybody is, "She's gone. Oh, she died." The Bible says they were tumulting. And Jesus put them out. And first he says, "She's not dead. She just sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. He kicked them out.
Yes, he did.
But here's my point. When he went into that bedroom and he raised that child from the dead, you would think he'd walk back out front there and go, "I tried to tell you she wasn't dead." It's not what he did. He slept out the back door. And he was gone to the next impossible situation.
Amen.
That's who we're going to be.
Amen.
We're not trying to stick our chest out. We're not trying to beat our chest and say, "Look at us." No, we just want to see the impossible begin to happen. Amen. When you establish yourself in worship, these are the kind of things you can expect. You'll go where he sends you. You'll do what he asked you to do. You'll raise the dead. You'll cast out devils. Again, not because you want to be, "Wow." No, but because you want to see all things are possible to him that believes.
Amen.
See, I don't know about you, but how many of you feel real disappointed when you pray for someone and you don't see any results right away?
Yes, sir.
How many of you leave there going, "I believe they're healed, but God, I want to see something now. I want to see it now." Now, we used to think that was us, and part of it was us, to make sure we can prove to everybody we got power. But now we're getting to a point where it's not about that anymore. What it's about is we just want to see the person healed. I don't care about whether they like me or not. As long as God's on my side, I could care less what you think. You know, now that separated me from a whole bunch of folk, but that's all right. I know I'm joined to one greater than them all.
Amen.
And he's not ashamed to call me his brother.
Yeah.
He's not ashamed to call me his son either.
Amen.
And because you're walking in his love and compassion, he knows that you'll receive truth from him and all that he has for his people, and you'll worship him in it by giving it the truth to others. See, all our desire is to see other people receive from God.
Amen.
That's our only motivation, is that we just want people healed. I don't know about you, but see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it says the whole world groans. And it says you too groan as well. And we go, "Well, when do I groan, God?" When you see little babies dying, stillbirth, when you see things like that happening, when you see children dying of diseases and cancers and things like that, you groan. You don't think that's fair. You know it's not fair.
Yes,
God, why? And then most people, Christian people, turn around and say, "Well, God just took them to heaven a little earlier. They're one of God's flowers, and he picked some of his flowers." That stuff don't preach anymore.
Amen.
People are being repulsed by that message. It's not an attractive message anymore. But the thing is that we want to see the power of God. We groan and we see young children and people that in tough situations. My son-in-law, his stepfather, he's basically down to nothing. Now, we've been praying for him, And the thing is, I think the what's the bus driver from Metrolift? I think that they just popped their head in. Okay. But at any rate, see, when I see that, I'm going, God, that's not supposed to be. We should be able to run that thing off.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Let's go on here. The saints of old could not worship him in truth, but we can. But why couldn't they worship him in spirit and in truth? Why? Why couldn't they? See, the only kind of worship they could give him was worship out of their carnal minds, out of their natural brain. They couldn't give him worship out of their spirits. Why? They didn't have a spirit. They didn't have a nature. Now, they still had a spirit, but they didn't have a spirit like God's. They had a spirit that was had not been born from above. Now, the thing is this. That's just why that they, when they died in the Old Testament, they didn't go to heaven. They went to a place called paradise. Uh-huh. And they stayed in paradise until Jesus went to the cross. And that first thing Jesus did when he rose from the dead, guess what he did? He went to paradise and said, fellas, this is your day. This is your day. We're going, and there was a procession, a marching into heaven. When all the saints that were in paradise began their march into heaven. Now, when you die, you don't go to paradise. You go straight to heaven. Now, there were some religions that have taken that, and they call it purgatory. And they say that you have to pray your loved ones out of purgatory. I all I can say is that's not right. Okay? If you die, you're going in one of two places. Amen. You're going to the place where your spirit resembles the most. Amen. Preferably, that's heaven. Amen. Okay? Amen. How is that, baby?
17 months.
Wow. And we got another DTC baby around her heels. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go on here. In spirit, you going to preach? In spirit and in truth, the power twins. As fasting and prayer is to unbelief, so is spirit and in truth is to worship and communing with God. Prayer and fasting were introduced by Jesus to eradicate a subtle form of unbelief in their lives. We're really going to get into this coming up. We're going to get into what fasting does. I promise you, if I were to ask 100 Christians, why do you fast? None of them could tell me why they fast. Not a one could tell me, not the biblical reason why we fast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Would anybody care to try? Okay, it's close. All right, let me just say it like this. You're close. You want to enforce a spiritual condition, a positional truth called death.
Okay.
Why do you pray in the spirit? Huh?
Build up your faith.
Okay, so what am I doing when I'm praying in the spirit? I am enforcing a spiritual truth called what?
The life.
Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So I am enforcing that spiritual truth when I'm praying in the mother tongue.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? You are enforcing a spiritual truth. When I'm fasting, I'm enforcing a spiritual truth called spiritual death. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 10, the body of sin has been, or that's Romans 6. Romans 8 says, the body is now dead, but the spirit is what?
Life.
It doesn't say it's alive. It says the spirit is life. Why does it say it's life and not alive? Because people in hell are alive. So he says the spirit is life, meaning what? In my spirit, I have the Zoe kind of life resonating on the inside of me. And the thing is, that Zoe spirit, it has all power in it that I need to overcome any situation, any test, any challenge. But now here's the problem. How do I release that Zoe life onto my problems? There is where the church has its dilemma. Why? Because you have a thing called what? A flesh. That's going, no, no, no. And it'll sealing your faith. It'll sealing your belief. And when it's a subtle form, it's the kind that you don't think you have until you're trying to use it. You're sitting there and I said, come out. I used to know a pastor, and he specialized in this. He'd work with a demon-possessed person for days until he cast that thing out. I'm talking hours and days. Uh-oh, runaway child. Put a fast one on mama, boy. Put that move on her. Now, where was I at? Enforcing spiritual truth. But the thing is that whenever you fast, you are enforcing a spiritual position called death. You are enforcing, you're making your flesh begin to lay down and allow your faith begin to rise and become effective. Yes.
Can you tell us some story about the pastor who
prayed for days? Oh, yeah. He would cast out devils for days. Uh-huh. Well, the thing is this, what he was fighting against was his flesh. Yeah. It was just his flesh. Now, the thing is, he'd wear himself down in the flesh to the degree that his spirit would come up, bam, devil come out. But see, the thing is, devil should come out. How many times did Jesus work with them? I mean, you remember, we'll talk about Matthew chapter 17, when the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus up on the mountain, and he comes down, and his disciples are done huffing and puffing, and they're trying to cast this devil out. They can't get him out, and they're like, what's going on? We just cast out demons 2 weeks ago. He had put his mantle on them, see. And so they were able to just effectively cast out devils with no resistance at all. And they came back and going, Jesus, demons are subject to us in your name. And what did he tell them? Calm down. That's not important. What's important is your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, meaning you're about to be a spirit. Thank God that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The only people's names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are the people that have been born from above. And he was saying, because that's more important than you casting out devils. I've given you this victory. I've given you this victory. So we have that victory. And in these last days, if many of you will walk through that door called next, you're going to start doing things that you've never seen before. Now, your family members may think you're a little strange. I know some of mine going to think, he done lost his mind. We knew he was a little strange. Man, we can confirm it now. He's casting out devils. We knew something was wrong with him. We always knew that he was a little strange. And the thing is this, you're going to have to be overcome all that.
Yes.
That cannot deter you.
That's right.
Why? Because you are moving into what God is calling. These are the end times, and he wants you to be effective here on the earth.
Amen.
But in spirit and truth, they're power twins. Praying and fasting were introduced by Jesus to eradicate the unbelief in our lives. We build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and fasting eradicates the what? The unbelief. Or it enforces a spiritual position called death in our flesh. Some teaching regarding in truth teach that you must be walking in his truth and free from sin, but this is not true. Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you have the perfect life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're not walking in something that you know you shouldn't be walking in. They go on to say that when you worship him and there is sin in your life, that he is not going to heal you until you get the sin out of your life. The sin, they're saying, is the antithesis of the truth. And that is not true. But on the contrary, the fact that you're representing yourself to him in worship means that you don't want to stay the same way. See, there are people that you're going to attempt to fast, and you're not going to make the 40-day fast that you thought you should go on. And you're going to fall short of that, and you're going to feel bad because you didn't complete your 40-day fast. But may I tell you something? God is pleased the fact that you even attempted a 40-day fast. Why? There are so many cotton-picking, flaky believers that ain't thinking about fasting. But you decided to go on one, and just because you fail, don't think God is upset with you.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's like, that's good. But the thing is, what we're going to teach you is, you don't have to go on a 40-day fast to get the same results.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on a 3-day fast. And man, you can wear your flesh out. 3 days on and 2 days off. Or 3 days on and 3 days off. Whatever you want to do. And just beat your flesh down. Beat your flesh down. Tell it to sit there and shut up and double dog dare it to move.
Amen.
Because now you've learned the secret of how to put it in check. That's what you're going to learn. Well, private worship is the same way. Private worship overrides a lot of the unbelief in your life. You begin to become the truth that you're worshiping God for. You begin to say things, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I give you praise and worship you and magnify you and honor you and praise you. And you go through that for about 25, 30, 40 minutes, and you'll begin to see your body begin to change and move toward that healing. Now, it may take you a lot of sessions like that, but if you won't give up, remember what we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago about diligence?
Uh-huh.
Diligence?
Yes.
See, the church has got to become diligent in these things.
Uh-huh.
Don't just worship God one day and go, okay, whew, that was tough. No, get back in there again.
Amen.
Man, I love worshiping God.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather worship God than do anything else. The fact that you you're presenting yourself to him in worship means that you don't want to stay the same. So if you want to change, why would he leave you the way that you are if you're trying to change? He's not going to leave you the same. See, there's the benefit in this, even if you try and you don't feel you're making any changes. God is not going to leave you the same. For example, let's say you start worshiping him and you've got hatred or anger in your heart toward someone else. Did you know that he will still receive the worship springing out of your new nature? Because worship doesn't come out of your flesh. Worship comes out of your new nature. And God is still receiving the worship that's coming out on the other side of your hatred. The worship he's receiving from you is coming from your spirit, not your unrenewed mind. You see, the thing is, this is why you can have an argument with someone, and once you become established in these things, you can still go raise the dead.
Amen.
But see, we had this idea that once I sin, oh, God locks me off. He puts me on lockdown, man. I can't receive from God. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Wow.
It's not right.
Wow.
We got to eradicate these thoughts. And it's because preachers preaching religion and not preaching the word of truth. No, I am not advocating that you practice sin. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you don't have to be a perfect person. When you sin, you do want to acknowledge it and ask God to forgive you and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. But don't put yourself on the sideline for a time out for 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 days, an hour, or even a couple of minutes. Just know, I'm clean, I'm righteous, I'm whole. I can go back in there and do what he asked me to do. There's no time out in God's world.
Amen.
Everybody say there's no time out.
There's no time out.
There's no time out in God's world. He doesn't put you on the sideline. He doesn't tell you, naughty, naughty, naughty. That's not him at all.
Amen.
I used to have someone that used to always tell me, God's going to get you. God's going to get you. And I would tell her, God ain't in the getting business. Quit telling me that. He ain't in the getting business. Now, she ain't said it in a while. But she saw it. God gonna get you. He ain't in the getting business. He's in the forgiving business.
Amen.
He's not running around going, ooh, I saw that. Ooh. No, what he's saying is, quick. Forgive, repent. Wash. You're clean. Get back out there. It's just that quick.
Wow.
There's no, I got to wait for 30 seconds. No. It's in real time. It's in real time. Now, you do have to forgive. You do have to repent. And you have to be forgiven. It's not automatic. I'm not saying you can sin all you want to sin and God doesn't care. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the moment that you ask for forgiveness, you're cleansed at that very moment. The hatred that you might have is not coming out of your heart. It's coming out of your head. And it's going to have a hard time surviving in a thing called worship.
Mm-hmm.
If if you don't stop worshiping him.
Amen.
So you know what I had to learn? Man, when I've had a bad day with someone, maybe I had a disagreement with somebody, I had to learn that I can allow that to keep me from worshiping him.
Amen.
Before there was this thing in my conscience that would go, oh, now, ooh, you got to go in there and face him. Oh, my, he's not going to be happy with you. You're no longer on his A list. Oh, you're probably way down there on the Z list. You're probably down on double Z list. None of that is true. That's your flesh telling you to get out of worship or to quit worshiping God. Don't listen to it ever again. And I used to have this condemnation. And then I begin to hear, there's no condemnation. That's not coming from me. I'm going to convict you to repent of your sin, but I'm never going to condemn you. So, man, no matter what happens, I don't care if I commit the most terrible sin. Man, when I get alone, it's him and I back in private worship. Because I know one thing, he's there to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. He wants the fellowship.
Amen.
And that fellowship is not coming out of the part of me that sin. It's coming, that worship is coming out of part of me that he created.
Amen.
That's where that worship is coming out of.
Amen.
Now, let me say this. When you walked into this room tonight, well, you didn't walk into it first, I did. But when I came in this room tonight, there were no lights on.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit the light switch. Now, the lights really had a hard time coming on. I mean, they struggled with that darkness, man.
Yeah.
Man, that light backed up. Like, whoa! Oh, Pastor, this is too much. I don't know. I don't know if we can get this darkness out of here.
No.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
In the same way, that's how your spirit is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't wrestle with darkness.
Mm-hmm.
It disintegrates it upon sight.
Mm.
God's not afraid of sin.
Amen.
He's already eradicated sin.
Yes.
Sin cannot remain in his presence.
You're
the one that could be harmed if you're in his presence and you can't get rid of your sin. But now that you have a new nature, he didn't have a problem with you being in his presence. Now he lives in you. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The worship you're giving him is like the light compared to darkness. The light simply overpowers the darkness. But to state that he doesn't hear you and receive your worship when you have hatred or anger in your heart, now get this, is an insult to him.
Mm.
You're insulting him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people teach that. If you've got anger or malice, and you haven't forgiven someone, and you're going to try to worship God, you're just slapping God in the face. And God's like, no way.
Mm-hmm.
No. Because the worship you're giving me, it's not coming from your unrenewed mind. It's not coming from your flesh. It's coming from your heart. That's what he's receiving. How many of you know the flesh is going to die anyway?
Amen.
When you get to heaven? He's getting rid of this thing you're wearing right now. This body of sin, is going to, your spirit, man, is going to put on immortality.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that you wear in heaven, it'll never die.
Mm.
It'll never die.
Amen.
Now, let me say this. In heaven, mm-hmm. you will still have a free will. It's not going to change, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to still have a free will. So if you want to disobey God, he ain't sending Jesus to the cross again. It just give you a little hint. Jesus ain't going back to the cross. There's no more redemption. But you have a free will. Why y'all looking so surprised? You seriously think when you get to heaven, you're going to be a little robot?
I thought it was a democracy.
Go over here. Yes, sir. That's no.
I thought it was a theocracy.
It is a theocracy. But you have to be willing to obey the theocracy. You'll have to subject yourself to it. If he says, worship me, it's not, do I have to? You better hit the floor. You better hit the ground. And be happy you down there eating some gold. You better be happy you're down there eating some gold and going, I give you praise. I worship you. I love you.
Glory.
It is a theocracy, but you still have a free will. This is why, listen, you're not forced to be in heaven. Anytime you don't like it, now, do you know where you're going if you don't want to be there?
Yeah.
You will still have a free will.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He doesn't take that from you. You were created a free will agent. He's not going to take that from you. See, that's why most people in the church, you're not ready to go to heaven yet. You don't understand the rules of engagement. You really don't. And you don't realize how serious it is. See, people think they'll get to heaven and go, what up, Jesus? What's happening, dude? Nuh-uh. Nah. I promise you, when you walk into heaven and you see him, you're going to go, bam! And you're going to be eating some gold dust, man. And you're going to be saying, forgive me, forgive me. Forgive me. You know why? All that stuff that you came in there with is going to start coming up and leaving because it ain't staying with you. If you don't get purged of it here in the earth, you're going to get purged of it in the heaven when you get to heaven. It's not going to stay in heaven. And you're going to realize, gosh, how wrong I have been about some things. But you're going to start getting rid of that stuff. But you're not going to be able to negotiate with him. You're just going to hit the ground and go, so a number of Christians, let me go far and say this. There are a number of pastors. You're not ready to meet Jesus yet. You're too arrogant. You think because you got a large congregation, you all that in a bag of Cheetos. Yes.
I thought that you couldn't go to heaven with no sin.
Well, you can't.
Well, it's got to be burned up before you get there.
It will be.
Okay.
But the day you go step and get your glorified body, that's when it burns up. Now, technically, I don't know what the process is. It may burn up the day you hit the ground or the day he snatches you out. I don't know. But my point is that when you are in heaven, that stuff will be gone. It's long gone. And then when you realize, how come I'm not sitting up there with the apostles? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You look down on people? You thought they were beneath you? You thought you were holier than they? And you think you're going to sit where the apostles sit? Oh, come on. Come on. See, that's where the humbling is going to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. True.
And I'm telling you, it's going to be some of your favorite pastors, too. Won't be this one. And you may say, well, why? How are you so certain? Because every day I go into his presence to get rid of that nonsense.
Amen.
I don't want it.
Amen.
I'm on a steady diet. I don't want it. Listen, I'm going to stay on this fasting until I beat my flesh to nothing.
Go ahead now.
To worship him in spirit and in truth are power twins. And being power twins, both of them are relating to the same subject, worship. The saints of the Old Testament could not worship him, could not give him this kind of worship. But we can, mainly because we have become new creatures in Christ and we have received his nature. The Old Testament saints could not worship him out of this truth, but you can. So what is truth? It means that now, since you have a new nature, you have the capacity to worship him in spirit, meaning you have the capacity to not only understand truth, but become truth. You can become the very truth that you've been worshiping over.
Amen.
So if I got some damnable disease in my body, and I just keep telling him, by his stripes I'm healed. I give you praise, I'm healed. I give you praise that I'm healed. I worship you. You're not a man that you can lie. You've exalted your name above, you've exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth will pass away, but you cannot lie. I give you praise.
Amen.
One day, the day you begin that, your damnable disease starts packing. Now, it may not walk out the same day, but one day, your spirit man is going to go, get out.
Glory.
Amen. And it's just that simple.
Amen.
And all you did is just sit there and told him, I love you, I worship you,
Amen.
I magnify you,
glory.
I glorify your name,
hallelujah.
I honor your name,
Amen.
I give you praise, I love you with all of my heart. That's all you did. You exposed your spirit to him, and he began to change you.
Amen.
Now, here's what most people do, especially Christians. The doctor says, I only have X number of days. Oh, pray for me, church. Oh, the devil is after me, church. Oh, come on, church. Oh, I'm believing God. See, we think that somehow makes us holy. It doesn't. It doesn't. That's not who you are. You're not a beggar. It's not who he made you. You're a son. His sons don't beg. His sons don't plead. You don't have to ask God for something he's already given you. The thing is, you have to learn that it's already yours. And you have to eradicate all the unbelief that's around it. How many of you know, remember the story about Chuck the Duck? I'm going to end with that.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Chuck the Duck?
Yes.
See, that is exactly who you are. See, when Chuck was raised as a chicken, but the moment that he saw water, something inside of him says, I can swim. The moment you begin to worship God, the moment you begin to stay in his presence in worship, all of a sudden you begin looking at his promises and you begin to go, I can have that. That's mine. And you'll do the same thing Chuck did. You'll see that water and you'll break out and run. Now, just like Chuck, when Chuck got that water, his mother went to the edge of that creek and she said, if you don't get out of it right now, you're a chicken. You cannot swim. You're going to drown. Get out of there. And the moment he got out of there, man, she pulled his diaper down and spanked him good. But the moment you begin to talk like that, the church world is going to shout you down.
Amen.
That preacher's going to get you hurt. That preacher's going to, you're going to die because you believe in that the truth. People are going to scorn you. How do you think you can believe that?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what Chuck did? Chuck snuck down at nighttime. Mama was asleep. He went down at that creek and dived in, boy. He was going under the water and swimming and carrying on. And them other ducks, they dropped in on him.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, duck. Who you calling a duck? I'm a chicken. They just cracked up laughing. You're a duck, man. Look at your reflection. You look just like us. Chuck said, I'm a duck. You're a duck, man. Really? He said, Chuck, try this. Flap your wings like this. And he began to flap his wings. And he lifted off the ground a little bit. Bam, he hit the water. And he went, oh, I can't do this. He said, no, Chuck. You can do this. Just flap your wings. And Chuck began to flap his wings. And he began to get wild with it. And he lifted up and he began to fly. See, that's what's going to happen to you when you realize through private worship you are a son of God. And then truth begins to come to the place where you're no longer going to be told you can't do these things. You're going to finally realize that all things are possible to him that believes. Most Christians have never gotten to that place. Very few do. When a person that I highly regarded in the faith died, I went, how am I ever going to get my healing if I need it? I have not answered my own question. Actually, he answered my question in worship. Son, I'll give you anything you can believe me for. Well, how do I believe you for it? Just like you're doing right now. And getting
Amen.
Rid of the subtle form Amen. Of unbelief.
Amen.
See, if you begin to worship me, in spirit and in truth, they're power twins. I'll begin to help you believe things that most Christians would never believe me for. Tell me this, ladies and gentlemen. How can a man believe God for millions of dollars and yet die of a damnable disease. How is that possible? And yet we'll allow the man because, man, he brought millions of dollars into the kingdom of God. He started orphanages. He started schools. He funded scholarships. He did a great thing. But he died of a damnable disease. What happened? See, that man chased God to the degree that he wanted to get it for finances. But he didn't chase God about the damnable disease. Church, we got to start chasing God for who he is.
Amen.
And begin to realize he's not just a financier, he's the healer.
Amen.
I don't care what you're suffering with. I don't care what you're suffering with. When I hear of elderly people dying, my natural mind wants to go, that's where you're headed. And the Spirit of God rises up and says, that is not you.
Amen.
That is not you.
Glory.
That is not you.
Amen.
I'm going, excuse me, that's not going to be the way you're going to end up if you keep worshiping me. You're not going to end up that way.
Amen.
The way you're going to end up is you're going to one day go, family, gather around. How y'all doing? Listen, I've been on the earth now X number of years.
Uh-huh.
I'm ready to go home.
Uh-huh.
I'm ready to build home and be with him. And so tomorrow at 3:15, I'm checking out. Oh, Uncle, Grandpa, why are you doing it? Because I ran my race.
Amen.
I've kept the faith.
Amen.
There's laid up for me a crown.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready to go.
Hallelujah.
And listen, family. I want you to know this is how we're supposed to leave the earth. We don't leave clinging to our bodies. We don't leave with some damnable disease. We don't leave being pushed in out of church. We leave when we're ready to go. And that's how I'm going.
Amen.
I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. And I believe when I see him, he's going to say, well done,
yes, I believe,
thou good and faithful servant. Why do I say that? Because I worship him in spirit and in truth. And that truth has become real in my life.
Amen.
It'll become real in your life as well if you'll spend the time with him. He wants it to be part of your truth. His truth is your truth. There's no two forms of truth here. All he can give you every day is one thing, truth. And if you don't receive it, he'll circle back around, and guess what he'll bring back to you? Truth. And if you don't like that truth, he'll circle back around, and guess what he'll bring? Truth. He doesn't go, would you please? Just try. No, he just brings truth. It's your decision whether you want to accept it or not. Amen?
Amen.